This past week was the first actual break into groups meeting for the Dillingham Troop of American Heritage Girls, specifically Troop 0514. The Dillingham Troop is the most far-flung troop in all of American Heritage Girls, and by a pretty wide margin. American Heritage Girls is a faith-based scouting organization that's fairly new, having just celebrated their 20th anniversary this year. But I'm not on here today to tell you about AHG, though it does connect to what I will share. I'm the leader for the Explorers group and have been for a number of years. The Explorers are 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, and I like to brag that we're the fun group. I say that because I gravitate towards activity badges that are outdoor geared and maybe a little less foo-foo. Not that there's anything wrong with foo-foo. Because I used to be a Boy Scout way back when, I've always liked badges that actually have a lot of things to do, and if they take place outside, so much the better. As such, my girls are always working on badges like fire starting, archery, and camping. You know, fun stuff. This year, AHG came out with a supplemental badge book outlining the requirements for a host of brand new badges. One of them in particular caught my eye, though in truth, I was already looking for it because it was rumored to be in the works. Yes, this past week, my girls got started on what will be our first badge this year, the all-new shooting badge. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Kids and guns, what's not to like? I understand in saying that there have been issues across our nation over recent years involving kids and guns. However, rural Alaska is in a world of its own. We live in a place where hunting is such a large part of the lives of so many people, a point I hit on last week during classroom visits for National Wildlife Refuge Week. It's also something that's come up in a number of ways on this program through the years. I can make light of it a bit, but the fact is that guns are something that many kids are exposed to so much more up here than might be the case someplace else. The key is for them to learn gun safety from an early age and to be brought up right with regards to guns, gun safety, and hunting. The new shooting badge we're starting out on is one small piece to a very large, potentially lifelong puzzle. I should point out that I'm not sending them out the door, handing out 338s and telling the girls to go get them. While I believe there are some opportunities for much older girls to have shooting experience with rimfire rifles and shotguns, with regards to this badge, the entirety of the shooting world my girls will inhabit is that of the air-powered BB gun, specifically the venerable Daisy Red Ryder, whereas a community member made a gift of a half dozen of them to our troop. Over the coming weeks, the girls will learn about gun safety, how to clean a gun, and how to shoot a BB gun. Which got me to thinking about BB guns and other air guns. How many of you cut your teeth on a BB gun way back when? And if so, what was that first gun? And have you ever wondered about how air guns got started? My first gun was an Ithaca Model 49 22 rifle, which, according to the story, my dad won for me in a poker game at about the time I was born. However, I didn't come into any meaningful possession of that gun until much later. My first memories of any amount of quality time with a gun came from my grandpa, who gave me a Daisy Golden Eagle BB gun when I was 7, and promptly set about teaching me how to shoot it safely. I still have both of those guns, by the way. Air guns have actually been around for hundreds of years. The oldest existing mechanical air gun dates back to Sweden in the late 1500s. That particular gun can still be seen in a museum in Stockholm. Air guns up to 50 caliber were used across Europe as early as the 1600s. Using a pump and approaching velocities of 1,000 feet per second, some guns were used to hunt deer. They actually had an advantage over traditional guns in that they were quieter and worked better in wet weather, even if the power was lacking. In the late 1700s, some countries used air rifle shooting snipers. Rifles used by these specialists could produce power roughly equal to that of the modern 9mm. Lewis and Clark carried an air gun of sorts in 46 caliber on their famed expedition across the North American continent. So air guns have been around, probably for a lot longer than a lot of people think. By the late 1800s, air guns were beginning to look and be a bit more like what we'd see today, and they had begun to really take off on a recreational level, both in Europe and here in the United States. One of the first companies to mass produce an air gun was called the Markham Company, and in 1888, you could purchase one of their guns from the Sears and Roebuck catalog for 73 cents. Perhaps the most famous air rifle name in the United States is that of the company that produced my first gun, Daisy. A watchmaker and inventor from Michigan in the late 1870s named Clarence Hamilton was struggling to make his businesses work. He came up with an all-metal air gun design, which he shared with the board members of a windmill company, his thinking being that they had the right setup in working with metal to produce the gun. Reportedly, the windmill company's general manager, when he test-fired the gun, exclaimed, "Boy, that's a daisy." It's a daisy being a common colloquialism of the time. And with that, the gun and the company was named Daisy. As 1900 approached, the company was simply booming. Early the next century, they bought out the Markham Company, also quite large at the time. For much of the last century, they have dominated a lot of the air gun market in the United States, though there have been other big companies, like Crossman and Benjamin. There are an assortment of different ways that air guns operate, but probably the most common still around today are spring piston air guns, single and multi-stroke pneumatic air guns, and CO2 air guns. Spring piston air guns are often fairly large and heavy. They utilize a single cocking action, which stores air in a compression chamber. These type guns are also often some of the most powerful types and can often exceed 1,000 feet per second. Possibly the most common type of air guns are single and multi-stroke pneumatic guns using single or multiple pumps to store compressed air within the gun. The Red Riders the girls will use are this type, as was my second air rifle, a Crossman 760, which could be pumped up to 10 times to deliver something like 700 or so feet per second. The third type are CO2 type air guns, which use CO2 canisters to deliver the air. The most common air gun calibers are 177 and 22, neither of which is much of a threat to anything very large. A powerful air gun in one of these calibers can be used to harvest small birds and possibly small mammals, such as squirrels and rabbits. An underlying motive, or so I've always suspected, to my grandpa giving me that golden eagle, was that the barn on the family farm was simply overrun with sparrows and pigeons. As soon as he felt like I was trained up, he turned me loose on them. In recent years, there has been a slight resurgence in larger caliber air rifles that use small external air tanks to add air to the rifle to shoot it. Once properly charged, a rifle will yield something like 6 shots. These rifles produce 800 or so feet per second, and at close ranges have been used to harvest deer and small hogs. As far as ammunition, most air guns use either lead pellets or BBs. Most kids who have had air guns get real familiar with both. Some guns can only shoot one or the other, while other guns can use both. That Crossman 760 I owned, one of the beauties to it, besides the fact that I could put a scope on it, was that it worked with both BBs and pellets. BBs were once the undisputed king of air gun ammo. BBs are small balls, most often made of steel with a copper or zinc plating. The most common caliber is 177, which isn't very big. If accuracy at any kind of range, however, is what you're after, pellets are the way to go. BBs are a bit undersized on purpose. Because they are steel, they don't stabilize in rifled barrels. Rifling imparts the spin necessary to the projectile to make it accurate. Guns that are strictly for BBs are smoothbore and can shoot BBs reasonably well, but guns designed to shoot both BBs and pellets have rifled barrels, because lead pellets will stabilize with rifling. The BBs have to be a smidge smaller to not jam in the barrel. In my opinion, air rifles are absolutely a great way to get kids started with shooting. All of my kids got started that way. First my son with a Daisy rifle, and then my daughters with a pink Crossman 760. Over the coming weeks, the same will hold true for my Explorer group as they learn the value of, safely I might add, the old tried and true Red Ryder air gun. I can't wait. It should be a lot of fun. Happy plinking, everyone. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.